the first Advent Sunday. Sorry, I'm like a small child. I'm very overexcited. So let's just pray before we get going. Father God, we thank you that you're here in this place with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray today that we would choose to let him in. And we would choose to open ourselves to you. And Lord, we thank you for this time coming up when we focus on your Son come to earth. Lord, it's just so far beyond our comprehension, but we try to get our heads around it. And we thank you that you found a way. You found a way to free us from our sin and to bring us closer to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so we worship you this Advent. We glorify you. And we pray that all the glory for everything we do in our lives would be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can I invite Jean and Emily up?
The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region there were shepherds, and in the field everyone kept watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased." Amen.
Well, good morning, and great to see you all, and especially if you're joining us from home. Sadly, you've got me for notices this morning, so try not to fall asleep. But as we jest, just the first few things I want to say. Obviously, latest things in the news just lately makes a bit of grim reading, doesn't it? But let's not panic. I think is first and foremost the correct thing to say. Let's just see what comes out. We have to abide by things. We've been sensible thus far. Let's continue and carry on. Because the biggest important thing is that we look after one another. And we have one another's health at the centre of our hearts. So that's what I want to say on that at the moment. Because there is nothing else really to come from that at this moment in time. The minute stuff does come out officially, then we will communicate it with you. And we'll go from there. I think what is safe to say is maybe what has been said is about the wearing of face masks. We'd encourage you to do that anyway. We always have done. We've said it is a choice, and at the moment it remains that way. But let's just be conscious and think of one another. A few reminders and some advance notices that we have. Reminders is we're having a church meeting directly after this service, about 12 o'clock. We'll have some drinks just after the service. Grab one if you're staying, that'd be great. And we'll start 12 o'clock prompt, and we'll go through. Everyone's invited to that. It's not just for church members. And we'll explain everything as we go through. Food bank donations that we're doing this year for them is church today and next week. There's a collection box down here for monetary donations, but also food donations as well. We'll close that off next Sunday, and then that following Monday we'll take them on the 6th to the food bank in time, ready for their Christmas giving out. Hazel's asked me to remind you about rotas, the flour, the tea and coffee and the other rotas that are out. If you're able to partake in that, because nothing happens on its own, it needs volunteers, then please see Hazel today, if you can, to volunteer and put your name down for these rotas. And if you want to ask her anything, then do so. Christmas card is available to sign at the back of the church, just out on the table in the foyer, if you'd like to sign that. And also, Jan's asked me to remind you about the prayer tree that's in this, or this prayer corner here, if you want to write a little prayer on the cards, and you can have it up on the tree there. Again, next Saturday is our coffee morning here, actually in the sanctuary. So do come and join us for that. Help, again, is needed for that. These things don't just happen on their own. So if you'd like to volunteer and help out for that, please speak to Carol, and she will get your name down and tell you what's needed. Again, bit of an advance notice and a reminder is that we're going to have a, hopefully, church meal at the Phoenix in January the 9th, Sunday, January the 9th, 1:30, 2 courses for £12. Numbers are needed ASAP, and again, there's a sheet at the back on the table there in the foyer if you'd like to put your name and how many people will be attending to that. And also, just to say that there's the newsletter available in printed form at the back there, thanks to Janet for producing that for us, but also a link to our website and online will be available in the update tomorrow. Couple of advance notices, like I say, the December and January prayer meetings that normally happen at the first Saturday of the month, we're pushing forward to the second Saturday, so it'll be December the 11th and January the 8th, because obviously next Saturday we're having our coffee morning, where we'd normally have the prayer meeting. We'll push that to a week later, and then January it would fall on, let me get this right, would it be New Year's Day? So we'll push it to the week after, obvious reasons there. And also, finally, to say that there's going to be no live streaming of our service on the December the 19th in the morning or for the carol service. What we'll probably do as well for Christmas Day is set up Zoom like we had last time. But again, more details will be in the email that will come out tomorrow. If you have any questions, do come and see us afterwards. And let us know. But like I say, all the website, Facebook and pages updated regularly. And again, more information's in that newsletter. Just before the children go out, they're going to come up and announce one or two things. Alex and Emily. And who else is coming up? Come on, don't be shy.
Is this about the...
So
some of you might have noticed that on the we had something set up at the back at the light party, and we were sending like candles and glass jars for and raising some money. The reason that we're doing this is because we want to renovate the outside area, just like outside of the school room and like the back area, just there, an area there we're raising money so we could buy a bench, buy some paints, like maybe paint, basically plant some flowers and like renovate it a bit to make it quite a nice area that you could go in the summer, and it won't just be like a dirty place that's never used. It'll be like we could buy some stuff and it'll be able to be used. So I think gradually throughout the year we're going to be like doing different fundraisers, trying to raise a lot of money so we could get some stuff. We're not sure about the aim yet, but I think what we got so far, I passed the money on to Janet, sadly I've forgotten the total, but I think it was around £25, £26, which I think was really good since we only had 26 candles. and we were selling it for £1 each, which is really good. And it's if in case any of you were like wondering what it was for, it's so we can renovate the outside. Did any of you two want to say anything? Oh, okay. I've said it all. So that's basically what all the money's being used for, and that's pretty much that's it.
Brilliant, Alex, thank you.
Well, I just want to reiterate there what Alex has said. This idea has come from the children of Junior Church. A few weeks ago, they sat and they asked what could be done, and they thought themselves of renovating the area out there as a space that not only they, but all of us can use. You know, they've got ideas of barbecues and flower beds raising and planting and growing, cultivating and giving out as well. So they're still in the process of drawing up how much that's all going to cost. And we're going to help them get there. They're going to be doing different fundraising activities. But what a great way to transform an area, and what a great idea to come up with. So we want to be fully behind them as they do that throughout the coming weeks and months ahead. So just before they go out and about that idea, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you in so many ways. We thank you for the gift, first and foremost, of our children. Lord, we thank you that these are the future of the church. Lord, as they are growing in their faith with you and as they're growing in the life of this church, Lord, we're seeing ways, amazing ways that they're wanting to transform and do many different things. So, Father God, I pray by your Holy Spirit you'll continue to guide them. You'll continue to discern and speak into their lives and into their hearts as to how they can have that input within the life of this church, and how, Lord, that will have a greater impact for the rest of us and the wider community. So, Father God, we just pray for these plans. We pray that, Lord, that you would help them to prosper. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them all that they need, the time, the energy, the resources that they would need to make this happen. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon their lives. We pray that you just continue to protect them and guide them and counsel them, Lord. Give them your wisdom, your strength and understanding. And Lord, as they go out now this morning into their Sunday school, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would just deepen their knowledge of you. Let them deepen that relationship through you, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In your name now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Out you go. And as they're going out, and as I think Rob is coming back up to talk to us this morning.
Cool. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody at home. Right, so this Advent, I can't believe it's Advent already. This Advent, as a church, we're going to be taking our inspiration for our sermons, I guess, from some of the Christmas carols that we sing every year. I don't know why I had that idea. Seemed like a good idea when I was thinking about it in October. But I guess for many people, Christmas carols are sort of some of the loveliest bits of the lead up to Christmas, aren't they, to Christmas Day. They are often, but not always, very beautifully composed songs with theologically very sound words, which is good because many people kind of out there would probably admit that the words of the Christmas carol are pretty much all the understanding of the Bible that they have. Now, obviously not all of them are. You know, Jingle Bells is possibly not based particularly well in gospel truths, but a lot of them are. And today we're going to be having a look at one of my favourites, because I got to choose. And we're going to be having a look at While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night, which is why we sang it earlier on. And those of you who were paying attention would probably have realised the link between that carol and the Advent reading that Jean so wonderfully and helpfully started to read for us at the beginning of the service. But anyway, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time of year. We thank you for the traditions and the familiarity of the Christmas story. And as we start to reflect this morning on that event, and we start to reflect on the well-known songs and familiar verses in your word, we thank you so much for Christmas and what it represents. We thank you for Christmas, something that when we understand it properly is life-changing. And Father God, we pray that this would be our experience as we think about things this morning. By your Spirit, make your living word our source of life for the week ahead. Amen. Right, I want to start with a bit of participation this morning, so I hope you're going to talk to each other, otherwise this next bit's going to be rubbish. If you are at home, in the, you know, feel free to put your answers in the chat, and our helpful little Christmas elf at the back might be able to shout out something if you say something good. So, how would you sum up Christmas in three words? Okay, so if you're at home, enter it into the chat function. If you're in the building, turn to somebody near you and talk to them. Just three words. There are no right or wrong answers. It could be silly, it could be funny, it can be profound. It really doesn't matter. How would you describe Christmas? What three words best sum up what Christmas is about? Have a chat. That's two words. Christmas tree. Not very many more seconds, guys. Three words. Okay. I think that's enough talking. Have you? You've got three? Oh, you're amazing. Well, I'm going to listen to you then. Oh? The three words. Nice. I didn't see that one coming. Well, God with us. Excellent. Very, very Sunday school. Very nice. Nice. That's a traditional one, was that? Okay. Great. Any others? Anyone else want to come up with something? Olivia?
We got family gifts and food.
Family gifts, food. Nice. Okay. So less church. Did anyone say anything in the chat? Is anyone alive at home?
Brian provides God became flesh.
God became flesh. Nice one, Brian. Excellent. Thank you very much. Anyone else got anything different? What did you come up with? Tree celebration Christ. Okay. Okay, well, I'm guessing that pretty much everyone came up with something a bit different. It could be that you came up with stuff that happens at Christmas, tree, presents, you know, snow. We had a little bit of Advent snow yesterday, didn't we? Too much food, time off work, friends, family, and commercialised secular festival, if you're feeling particularly cynical. Or you could have been very Christian about it and gone for, I don't know, Jesus's birthday party, God with us. And I hope you can remember the Advent reading that we started the service with. Because I reckon if we had a chance to ask that angel who appeared to the shepherds in today's Advent reading, the angel would probably have said, Saviour, Christ, Lord. A version of the passage used in the carol that we're thinking about today, While Shepherds Watched. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line a saviour who is Christ the Lord. Well, a little bit of music history for you. While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks came about in the late 1600s, it's a really old one, there was an Irishman called Nahum Tate, and he took time off rewriting Shakespeare tragedies. He had a little bit of a habit of rewriting Shakespeare tragedies to give them happy endings. And he took a bit of time off of that one to have a look into Luke's Gospel. Because the words that he used for that hymn that we sang earlier on are pretty much paraphrased from Luke's Gospel chapter 2. The hymn was originally called Song of the Angels, not While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. I've got to say that really carefully, and I'm sure you know why. The Church of England actually gave that hymn official approval, which it was included in the 1700 edition of the Church Songbook, which was a really rare endorsement, because until that day, only psalms were allowed to be sung in church. And the tune that we all know and hopefully love dates back even further in time. It dates back, they weren't written together, you know, it's not like Elton John and Taupin or whatever. They sort of were just put together randomly. And that music comes from 1553 and a composer called Christopher Tye. So there you go. But it's the words that I really want to focus on this morning. And when I was thinking about those words in the carol, and the corresponding words in Luke's Gospel, I was particularly drawn to that word Lord that the angel says. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Or to use the words directly from Luke, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Lord is one of the titles that is given to Jesus in this account of his birth. And I guess as part of this talk this morning, I get to channel my inner Susie Dent and unleash my only marginally hidden language geek skills. There's quite a lot of flexibility, really, around the word Lord. Are you amusing yourself about the fact that I'm not Susie Dent, Sue? Giggling there behind. You might be wearing a mask, but I can see you giggling at me. There's quite a lot of flexibility, I think, around that word Lord and what it means for us today. Lord is a term of respect. It's a word that is used to refer to somebody who's got a degree of power and authority. But actually what that power and authority is can vary quite a lot depending on the context. So in this country, we have lords who are part of the nobility. Yeah, people who have inherited that title Lord because they are basically born into an important family. And then we've got the House of Lords, which has got some of those hereditary peers, but also other people who have been given the title Lord in recognition of cultural or business or political achievement, like Lord Sugar or something. So Lord can just mean important person, okay? But we also use Lord as a name for God. We're all very familiar with it, aren't we, in Christian circles? But actually, out there, it's quite common as well for regular folk. So when someone exclaims, "Good Lord," for example, they're referring not to Lord Alan Sugar, are they? They're referring to God. They mean God, whether they mean to or believe in God or not. That's what they mean. So the question is, what did the angel mean when he describes Jesus as Lord? Is he just saying that Jesus is an important person, or is he saying something more? Well, Luke's Gospel was written in Greek, and maybe there are clues in the original language, so I did a little bit of digging, which is a good idea, except that Kyrios, the Greek word for Lord that is used here, is apparently just as flexible as the English. It can be used as a term of respect and politeness, like the English word sir. And it could be used as meaning more than that. So Kyrios, for example, was used of the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, who is mentioned at the beginning of Luke chapter 2. And again, just like in English, Kyrios, the word that we're thinking about, can be used to mean God. So Kyrios, the word Lord, was the word that was used in the early Greek translations of the Old Testament for the word Yahweh, the Hebrew name of God that we've been looking at and thinking about as our journey through Exodus in the last couple of months. And in our modern English Bibles, we translate that word as Lord in little capital letters. So unfortunately, I don't think the Greek really helps us. We seem to be back to square one. We're in the same position. The baby born could be somebody important, maybe even as important as an emperor, or he may be God, according to the language that's being used. And so it looks, on the face of it, that there might even be a little bit of wriggle room for those people who want to claim that Jesus was just a normal man. But I think when we look carefully at Luke chapter 2, I think that wriggle room evaporates. So let's have a look again at the passage. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, it's Luke chapter 2. Picture the scene. It is a familiar one, I'm sure, to most of us, one that is beautifully conjured up by that carol. A group of shepherds were out in the countryside washing their socks. Nothing special's happening. And then, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It is a divine intervention, isn't it? An angel of the Lord, a messenger of God, the God of the Old Testament, who made the world and everything in it. The God who has armies of angels at his disposal. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God, the glory that made Ezekiel fall flat on his face in awe, shone around the shepherds. And therefore, it's really no wonder that they were filled with great fear. It's pretty clear, I think, who Luke means when he talks about the Lord. He sets it up for us nicely. When the angel says that Christ the Lord is born, he is talking about someone who is God. It sets the scene for one of the most shocking verses in the whole Bible. Maybe it doesn't shock us because we're used to hearing it and singing it multiple times every Advent, but just try to hear verse 11 for the first time as those shepherds heard it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. How wonderful. Who is Christ? Well, that's even more wonderful. The Lord. Wow, I mean, isn't that just mind-blowing? It is an incredible verse. The angel of the Lord is announcing nothing less than the birth of the Lord. The baby is the Lord, and we have to worship him as God, the angel is saying. Jesus is God. It is that simple. And therefore, the only appropriate response is worship, to kneel at the manger in awe, to bow at his feet and worship. He is more deserving of honour and glory than the most powerful peer of the realm. The baby is Lord. His achievements far outshine politicians and business leaders and emperors even. To borrow words from Colossians a little bit further on in the New Testament, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The angel is saying the baby is Lord. He made literally everything. Thoughts, images, love, atoms, oceans. The baby is Lord. The baby is the God who broke the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. The God who gave the victory over their enemies, who established them as the original nation under God. The baby is Lord, and we have to worship him as God. I don't know about you, but I find it very embarrassing when I get it wrong about who someone is. Last week, Thomas came out of his evening band rehearsal at Rawmarsh, and he got into the wrong car. It was a bit of a surprise to the man who was waiting for his daughter. I don't know whether you've ever done anything like that. I went to the loo in a restaurant once. And on my return, I sat back down at the wrong table, much to the shock of the couple on a romantic date, and much to the amusement of my companions who were at the next table watching me make a fool of myself. It's embarrassing, isn't it, when you get it wrong about who someone is? But the tragic thing, I think, is that there are going to be millions of people this Christmas who are going to be too busy focusing on the table to really notice who Jesus is. All those people too busy with the food and the parties and the decorations this year to look at who Jesus is are insulting him, because he is someone who they should worship. Jesus is Lord. He is our creator. We owe him that. And anything else is an insult to him. As Brian said, and as some of you said in your answers, Christmas is all about a baby who is God. And he deserves so much more than just a bit part in our festivities. He's more than Father Christmas's sidekick. He deserves to be centre stage. He is the good news of great joy that will be for all people. He is the one with all ultimate authority, the ruler of the word, the world. You see, the name Lord tells us the true identity, doesn't it? God. But think about it, there's more to it than that, because the fact that the baby is Lord tells us something about the nature of Lord. Because not only is the baby the Lord, but the Lord became the baby. And that means that we delight to worship him as God. The truth of Christmas is not only that Jesus is God, but that God became Jesus. That God humbled himself to become a tiny little baby. And I don't know which way round it's more incredible, really. The fact that the tiny, weak, helpless, vulnerable baby in the manger was at the same time fully and totally God, or the fact that God shrank himself down to become the tiny, weak little baby in the manger. The fact that Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So when we hear this story or sing that wonderful carol, we know that not only is there a God, but we also know what God is like. The Lord God became a baby. He's not a God who is distant and uninvolved. He stepped into the world that he had made. The hands that placed the stars in the sky and the planets in their orbits became hands so tiny that they could barely manage a squeeze of a finger. The voice that spoke the universe into being became a baby who couldn't speak a single word. Ultimate authority took on ultimate vulnerability. God became one of us. And God knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be you. And I think that's the kind of God that a lot of people dream of. That's the God that Christmas gives us all. And folks, isn't that a God that you can worship? Isn't that a God that you would want to worship? You see, Christmas not only tells us that we should worship Jesus, Christmas should make us want to. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord, the fully God, became a baby. And the carol reminds us that Jesus is a saviour who is Christ the Lord. And that's the point, isn't it? God loves us so much that he became a baby to save us. He was born like us. He lived with us. He died for us. He wrote himself into our story and changed our history and our lives forever. And if you've got your Bibles in front of you, then keep looking down in your Bibles to see the change in the shepherds. They were full of fear, as Jean said in the Advent reading in verse 9. But look down to verse 20. They'd met Jesus by that point. And they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. They go on this incredible change from panic to praise because they had seen and believed this great news of good joy. And we never see those shepherds again, either in the carol or in Luke's gospel. They've had their moment in the glory of God in that spotlight, and then they exit the stage of human history back to their day jobs. And we don't know what happened to them after that night. But I think it's safe to assume that they were never quite the same again. I think it's safe to assume that they continued glorifying God and telling others about their experience. They'd seen on that hillside the glory of the Lord. And then they went down the hill and they saw the Lord of glory in the most unlikely of places, a baby in the manger. The baby is the Lord. Our Lord became a baby. And if that doesn't inspire you to worship him, then I don't know what will. And that's the feeling behind that wonderful carol. All glory be to God on high. The angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town, this day is born of David's line a saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to bow before you in worship. We recognize the glory of seeing you become a tiny baby. We know that you are the awesome Lord who created the world, who created each one of us, who deserves all the praise and glory that we could ever give you. And all the more so for the fact that you became one of us, that you entered our world, your glory veiled, and you ultimately went to a cross and died for us. We pray, Lord, that this Christmas time you would help us be mindful of that fact. We pray that we would spend time this Christmas worshipping you, and that we would live lives that are submitted to you as our Lord. Please give us the courage and sense of urgency to speak out to the world around us that does not see you as Lord, that would rather focus on the background noise of Christmas. We pray that we would worship in a way that people would see and want to join in, want to discover more. Lord, you're such a great God. Amen. Okay, thank you. Olivia.
And they went to taste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Father God, as we go into this week, let us be like Mary and the shepherds. Let us go out and tell of your great love and mercy. Let us tell people about that baby in the manger. Let us see your love and keep it in our hearts and ponder on it and pray on it and work out what you have for us. And Lord, let us shine with your glory. Let it be obvious to everyone we meet without even saying a word that we are different because we have the Lord Jesus. Father God, we place it in your hands. We trust you with our lives. Use them as you see fit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's say the grace together. Yeah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.